The Lord be with you today. We continue to wonder what is coming next with all of our quarantine and our social distancing. And we will continue to update you as we know more about gathering together again before the Lord's altar to receive his gifts here in church at Grace. Again, Easter Sunday, we will celebrate that on the Sunday that we return, whenever that is. We will make that a joyous celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. So continue to check the Grace Notes, our Facebook page, website, and more for updated information. Also, keep an eye on your Grace Notes for devotions that you can be doing, links for purchasing your own hymnal if you would like. And again, we thank you for mailing in your offerings as you're able. Also, the front page of our website at the top left is an option for online giving and making your offerings there. In our prayers, we continue to remember those who are affected by the pandemic, especially praying for doctors, nurses, medical workers who are caring for the ill. We pray for healing for those who are ill with the COVID-19 virus. Also, once again, we pray for those who mourn, especially the family and friends of our brother in Christ, Amos Crewe, who is soon to be laid to rest at the National Cemetery in Sacramento Valley once the restrictions are lifted. And specifically as well, we pray for Jenny, who is under treatment now for her lung cancer, for Ravia, who is healing at home from her breast cancer surgery, and also John and Eric and Janet, all of whom are recovering at home. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now, when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Earlier in St. John's gospel, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out." There's a brief glimpse of that future today outside of Bethany. Why does Jesus work this sign? As he himself says, "It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." That's the point of this sign in God's word. These things happen that God may rightly be glorified through them. But there's also something else happening. This isn't just a miracle to show how great a guy God the Father can be. Both Ezekiel and Jesus do these things to show God's people their future too. You probably remember the context from Ezekiel. He's taken to a valley strewn with bones, bleached white by the sun, the scattered dead from a huge battle. "Can these bones live?" Almighty God asks him. And Ezekiel, being no dummy, defers. "Lord God, you know. I'm not going out on a limb," he's thinking. "They look pretty dead to me." But God tells him to prophesy to them, to reconstruct themselves. And so Ezekiel does. And a great rattling and crackling noise follows until he sees a valley covered in bodies. Now, all that Ezekiel has managed to do is make a bunch of dead people out of a bunch of dead bones. But then God tells him to prophesy to the ruach, to the spirit, to the wind, to the breath, to breathe on them so that they may live. He does, and they do. What was just a bunch of dusty, dry bones a few moments ago is now an army of living, breathing men ready for action. And some 600 years later, Jesus came to Bethany to act, as he tells his disciples, "so that you may believe." He and Martha, Lazarus' sister, discuss the resurrection. Martha knows that Lazarus will rise on the last day, but that doesn't help her grief right now. Those of you who have been to the funeral of a loved one know well how Martha felt as Jesus stood before her. It didn't matter what Jesus said. She still felt the grief and the pain of the hole that had been ripped open in her life by the death of her brother. Jesus goes to the tomb, and he feels the effects of death as well. He stands before Lazarus' tomb and weeps because of the evil that sin has wrought on his good creation. He turns and asks Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And then after lifting his eyes to heaven, he shouts, "Lazarus, come out!" And Lazarus does, to the astonishment of everyone there. These resurrections in both Ezekiel and St. John pointed to one thing: the true resurrection to life everlasting that was to come after Jesus' death for you outside the walls of Jerusalem. All of the events in Scripture of bringing someone back to life are signs of the resurrection to come, of Jesus' own resurrection from the dead that first Easter Sunday. The stone of his tomb would be rolled away, his grave clothes would be left behind, and the risen Jesus would lead the way for you into eternal life. Jesus is the first fruits from the dead, as St. Paul says. First, Jesus is raised, glorified, and perfect. Then you will follow. "Lazarus, come out." Jesus is going to say that again someday, only then he's going to call out your name, or your brother's name, or your daughter's name, your spouse's name, your grandparents' name. All of those who die in the faith, Christ Jesus will raise your and their bodies from the dead, for he is the resurrection and the life. Because death is not the end. These mortal bodies that we lay in the ground will be raised immortal, glorified, whole, restored, just as God intended them to be from the creation of Adam. So that's what the raising of Lazarus and the bringing to life of the dry bones in the valley proclaim to you. They are signs of the resurrection to come for you. Let's go back to Ezekiel for just a minute. God tells him to speak these words to those who were dead but now live. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. That's a direct preview of what St. John sees in his revelation. When the multitudes come streaming into the New Jerusalem, come down from above, from all over creation, to take the places prepared for them for all of eternity. The place where they will live forever. A place prepared by God for His own people in His eternal, glorious, luminous presence. The life that Jesus gives includes resurrection and the life of the world to come, victory over death and the grave. But it also includes life now. Jesus weaves both of these together when he says, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." That's the resurrection from the dead. And then he adds, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's life now. You who believe in Christ have that everlasting life right now. You will never die. Not the big death. Death with a capital D, the death that can separate you from God and His love forever. That death will never happen to you, for you have eternal life right now. And that eternal life began in you when you died and were buried with Christ in baptism and were raised to newness of life. And that life, the life in which you are walking right now, that life with Christ will never end. So you can rest secure now, and you can rest secure in your grave, knowing that on the last day, when Christ comes again, He will call your name. He will raise your body to live with Him forever in His new creation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.